Please turn with me to Ezekiel chapter 38 here tonight. Ezekiel chapter 38. We've been dealing with Jerusalem and Bible prophecy. Jerusalem and Bible prophecy, a vital subject. I know it's harder than some other things. We've talked a lot about being born again, justified by faith. But saints, God has put these things in the Bible for a reason. There's a lot of chapters in the Bible you can read and go, what does it mean? Or how does it apply to my life? There are chapters you'll want to skip over when you read the Bible. But I'd encourage you not to, because every word is inspired. Every single word is vital for the Christian and the believer. My message tonight is Ezekiel's war. Ezekiel's war. Reading from Ezekiel chapter 38 and verse 1. And it says, "And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, set thy face against Gog, the land of Magog, the chief prince of Meshech and Tabel, and prophesy against him, and say, Thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I am against thee, O Gog, the chief prince of Meshech and Tabel, and I will turn thee back and put a hooks into thy jaws, and I will bring thee forth and all thine army, horses and horsemen, and all of them clothed with all sorts of armor, even a great company with bucklers and shields, all of them handling swords. Persia, Ethiopia, and Libya with them, all of them with shield and helmet, Gomer and all of his bands, the house of Togarma of the north quarters and all his bands, and many people with thee. Be thou prepared, and prepare for thyself, thou and all thy company that are assembled unto thee, and be thou a guard unto them. After many days thou shalt be visited. In the latter years thou shalt come into the land that is brought back from the sword, and is gathered out of many people against the mountains of Israel, which have been always waste. But it is brought forth out of the nations, and they shall dwell safely, all of them. Thou shalt ascend and come like a storm. Thou shalt be like a cloud to cover the land, thou and all of thy bands and many people with thee. Thus saith the Lord God, it shall come to pass that at the same time shall things come into thy mind, and thou shalt think an evil thought, and thou shalt say, I will go to the land of unwalled villages. I will go to them that are at rest, that dwell safely, all of them dwelling without walls and having neither bars nor gates, to take a spoil and to take a prey, and to turn thine hand upon the desolate places that are now inhabited, and upon the people that are gathered out of the nations, which have gotten cattle and goods and dwell in the midst of the land." Let's pray together. Father, I thank you that you've written all of these things thousands of years ago. Lord God, for us that live in these days, Father, you said that you would do all these things, that you'd gather Israel as a nation again, that you'd bring her people back to the very mountains of Israel. Lord God, that you'd even, Lord God, bring these nations up against her and defeat them on the mountains of Israel for this one reason, that you might reveal yourself as the true and the living God. Father, I do pray that you prepare us, the real church, that you'd make us ready for this event that's making ready to take place. Will you prepare us, Lord God, because I believe that you're yet to move in remarkable and supernatural ways and send in revival. I bless you and praise you tonight in Jesus' name. Bless your word. Open our eyes, Lord God, stir us, excite us. Give us an expectation of what you're going to do in our generation, in our lifetime, amidst the nations of the world and in the nation of Israel. In Jesus' name, amen. In the book of Ezekiel, as we come to Ezekiel's war, in the book of Ezekiel, 72 times, listen to what it says, "And they shall know that I am the Lord." Everything that God does, everything that he prophesies in this book of Ezekiel, it's for this one reason, so that when it happens, you will see it. You'll know that 2,600 years ago, it was prophesied by the prophet Ezekiel. And when this happens, when you see it with your own eyes, you will know that God is the Lord, the God of Israel. Since, as we dealt with last week, we looked at this regathering of Israel to their nations. Now, we are dealing here tonight with Ezekiel's war, with several nations that are going to invade the little nation of Israel. Look with me in verse 8 here for a second, as we already read, and Ezekiel prophesies that this nation will have been gathered out of all nations, that its nation was once a waste, but they're regathered to the mountains of Israel, and now they're dwelling safely. They become a very prosperous nation. Now, saints, that is what Israel looks like when these nations invade her. She is resting secure. She is very safe. She has refilled the land. The land is no longer a waste, and the blessing of God is there. In chapters 36 and 37, we have a literal fulfillment that God is going to gather Israel from all nations. You'll remember last week in Isaiah chapter 11, we seen how that Israel at that same time would be gathered from all the surrounding Arab nations, or Arabic or Muslim nations. Then in Jeremiah 16 and in chapter 23, we looked at how Israel at that same time, all these things happen together, she will then be known as the people who have been regathered from the Northland or from Russia. We know that today, right now, 1 million of the population of Israel were born in Russia. 20% of Israel's population speak the Russian language. It is the third language of the nation. Even one of Putin's old teachers, I just read about this, one of Putin's, President Putin's old teachers actually now lives in Israel, has moved there and is dwelling there as an older lady. You see, we are seeing the scripture fulfilled before our eyes. Why is God doing this? Why was it prophesied? Why are we preaching about it? Because when you see it with your own eyes, listen, God himself says, when all these things come to pass, then you shall know that I am the Lord. You're going to see I'm the God of Israel, the God of the Bible, the God of the prophets, the God of the written scriptures. There is going to come a mighty, visible, physical, literal fulfillment of the Word of God that you can see, that is historic, that's on the news every single day, and nobody will be able to deny that this God is real. Since this fulfillment of Bible prophecy is just one of the ways we know our God is real. It is one of the ways I know miracles can prove it, salvation can prove it, but this is an infallible, miraculous way that you can know that God is real. This is one of the ways how he fulfills Bible prophecy. No one else does that. No one else can possibly do that. For the first time in 1900 years, Israel has been gathered back to her land, and she is now known as the nation, not that was brought out of Egypt, but that has been brought out of the northern nation of Russia. That is how she is actually known. 43% of all Jews in the world are back in the land of Israel. There are a higher percentage of Jews in the land of Israel than there has been for 1900 years. 100 years ago, there was 1%, or maybe 10% of 1% of all Jews were in the land. Now there's 43%. But listen to me, there's 57% of all Jews scattered across the world still to be brought back to the land of Israel. How is it going to happen? I believe it's Ezekiel's war that is shortly to take place, that's going to bring the other half of the Jews back to their homeland. Something is going to happen in our world. When does the Bible say Ezekiel's war? will actually take place. It says here in verse 8 and again in verse 16, in the latter days or the latter years, this invasion of Israel, many nations attacking her, is going to happen in the last days or the latter days. In the Old Testament, every time the latter days or the last days are talking about, what do they mean? They mean the days leading up to Messiah's physical establishment of his kingdom on the earth. Now, they are still looking for their Messiah the first time. We're looking for his second coming. But when that term is used in the Old Testament, this is a time when Messiah, it's the period just before Messiah coming back and establishing his kingdom. That's what the Jews believe is the last days. And you know, the Jews in Jerusalem believe this is the last days. They know this is the last days. They see all the signs around them of everything happening. Look at the setting of Ezekiel's war in Ezekiel 38 and in chapter 39. An alliance of several nations mentioned specifically by name, 8 in number. They're all mentioned by name. And the Lord 2,600 years ago, I hope you don't get me tired of me saying that, because this is remarkable. 2,600 years ago, he gives exact detail of the nations. What is going to happen? Who is going to lead them? How it is going to happen? What is going to happen? When it is going to happen? He gives the exact nations and what is just about to happen, saints. This is a remarkable prophecy, and it hasn't happened yet. And you know what? If chapter 36 and 37 have already happened, on or in the process of being literally fulfilled, why should we doubt that Ezekiel 38 and 39, that talks about this invasion, will not be fulfilled literally very soon within our own generation? I believe, saints, it is very, very close, even at the door. These 8 names of nations that are going to join together in a military army and invade Israel, all 8 of their names are previously mentioned together in one chapter, and only in one chapter in the Bible. So in 2 chapters in the Bible, they're mentioned together. What is the other chapter? It's Genesis chapter 10, verse 2 to verse 7. All 8 of these nations are mentioned together as the children of Japheth, Ham, and Shem. These are the grandchildren of Noah. They were individual men. They were real men. But those individual men gave birth to nations. And those nations settled on certain pieces of land. So look at it. These 8 nations descended from Noah. They were real nations in real places, and they settle there, and they're going to invade Israel. But notice in this prophecy, it also says there's more in the army than these 8 nations. It says it's a mighty army, and all of thy bands, many people. It's going to be a large military force, and others are going to come from other nations. But these are the main nations that joined together. Do you remember we said about the wars Israel had? 1948, when it was birthed as a nation. 1967, the Six-Day War. 1973, Yom Kippur. Do you remember these 3 great wars that actually happened there when Israel was invaded? Do you remember that in all 3 of those wars, Egypt was involved? Isn't that right? And Syria was involved, and Jordan was involved. But in Ezekiel's war, these 3 nations aren't involved. They will not be a part of this war. Yet they've been a part of every single war since 1948. But they won't be a part of this war. That's very significant when we begin to look at it. Look at verse 38 and verse 2. As we begin to understand who these nations are, I want you to understand, because it's on our news. And when I tell you this, you're going to switch on the news, and you're going to begin to look at the latest news items over this coming days, weeks, and months, and you're going to be blown away by this happening at the minute. These nations are actually being brought together right now before our eyes. And do you know what? It wasn't happening or didn't start happening until just over a year ago. Okay? That's very important to see, is that until a year ago, or a year and a half ago, less than a year and a half ago, suddenly I went, this is it, this is it, in preparation. I never thought that my entire life, and yet I've studied this for 25 years. This is the first year that I said, this is it, it's approaching, and we're making ready. So let's look at the nations. I want to teach you tonight. I want you to grip this. You know why? God has given this to us. And he says, you know what? When this happens, you are going to know that I am the Lord. I want you to see who I am. I want you to have a real experience where these prophecies are your prophecies. And you know what? God is going to bring them to pass in a remarkable way. It says in verse 2, chapter 38, verse 2, Son of man, speaking to Ezekiel, set thy face against Gog, the land of Magog, the chief prince of Meshech and Tubal, and prophesy against them and say, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I am against thee, O Gog, the chief prince of Meshech and Tubal. Now notice with me Gog. Who is Gog? Is it a nation? No, it's not a nation. Gog is a person, a human, an individual. He is mentioned 9 times in these 2 chapters of Ezekiel. He is the actual leader of this military force that's going to attack Israel. Gog is a military title given to him. And he's actually from the land of Magog. He is Gog of the land of Magog. That is his nationality. He is of the nationality of Magog. If we find out what Magog is, you'll know his nationality, where he was born, of what citizenship he is. Now notice this carefully. It actually shows us here the country he was born. Why would God give that? It's so you can identify who he is, so that you'll have a consciousness. 3 times as well. Now we're given information about him. 3 times as well, we're told Gog, the chief prince of Meshech and Tubal. Now this term chief prince, some people try to say it's Rosh and all of that. I don't believe that. Okay? Every time this Hebrew word is used, it always is used the same way. And it always means the chief or the top general. Let me say that again. Gog, the chief prince. Or let me explain that in today's terms. He is the top general of this entire military force. He is the commander-in-chief. He is the leader of their military force. But notice, it says the chief prince of Meshech and Tubal. Okay, notice this. He specifically pinpoints a nation and says he is going to be the general of the military in that nation. He is specifically going to be known as the leader of the military force in that nation. Now I'm fitting the pieces together here. I'm just telling you what the Bible says. So let's begin to look at more of what this says. Who is Magog? Magog is first mentioned in Genesis chapter 10 verse 2. He is of the sons of Japheth. Magog was the grandson of Noah and the second son of Japheth. That's who he is. He was a literal person, Magog, but he birthed an entire nation that settled on a certain bit of land. This people settled in a land that was called Magog. Now, where is Magog? Let me explain. I'm not going to give you all the information tonight. I've got it written. You can read the articles. But let me just condense this and tell you where Magog was on the map in the days of Ezekiel. I'll explain it to you. It was actually north of present-day Turkey and Iran. You can see it in the map here above me. It was north of Turkey, north of Iran. In the area between the Black Sea and the Caspian Sea, just above the Middle East, this is where Magog literally was. It's now today called the Caucasus area or the Russian steppes. Or let me be more precise, it is Russia, present day Russia. That's exactly where it was. In Ezekiel's day in the 6th century BC, And again in Josephus' day in the first century, Josephus the historian, they actually called the descendants of Magog the Scythians, okay? The Scythian Empire. And you can get an old map or Google it and you'll see a picture of the Scythian Empire. It's present day Russia. They were made up of many tribes, ancient Scythia. Now who is Magog? It's Russia. That's the first clue we have here. So who is Gog? Gog of Magog. He is a military general, a political leader who oversees the military force of Meshech and Tubal. He is going to lead that military army, but he's from Russia, but he leads the military army of Meshech and Tubal. Now this is very important as we look at it. Notice as well, three times in this prophecy, the north is mentioned. This confirms it still more. In chapter 38, verse 6, it says, from the north quarters. From chapter 38, verse 15, it says, the God will bring him from thy place out of the north parts. Or in chapter 39, verse 2, come up from the north parts, and I will bring thee upon the mountains of Israel. So look at Gog of Magog coming with his army. God is going to bring him out of the north parts. Now listen carefully what it means. Quarters or parts, the Hebrew word here. It doesn't mean just from the north. It doesn't. And this is very important because people try to say, oh, it's Turkey or it's Syria. That's who Magog is. That's impossible. Listen to what it says. This nation of Magog comes from the north parts. The north parts actually mean, listen to this, the uttermost parts, the far north, the furthest coast to the north. So this army comes, or Gog and Magog actually come from the most northern part to Israel. Now if you get a map and you draw from Jerusalem northwards, and notice it didn't say magnetic north, as said on our maps, and you draw a line from Jerusalem directly north, where do you hit? Moscow, on a direct line to the north. So we're seeing a picture built here. The Bible is very accurate. Magog is in the region of Scythia, of present-day Russia. It also says they're going to come from the uttermost parts of the north and descend to the mountains of Israel. You remember what I said about the mountains of Israel? It's that portion of mountains in Israel that is fought over in the Palestinians are trying to claim. Notice as well in verse 7 what it says about Gog. God begins to prophesy to Gog. Listen to what he says in verse 7. Be thou prepared. God's telling him to prepare. Be thou prepared and prepare for thyself, thou and all of thy company. So notice first of all here, God is prophesying him and saying, prepare yourself. In fact, prepare all of these nations, these military force who are with you. What does the word prepare mean? It means to raise up, to establish, to make ready. So we see that God is prophesying to Gog of Russia, the leader from Russia. And he's actually saying, make ready, make all these nations ready. You know what I believe that means? Arm them. Yeah. Organize them. Begin to work in those nations. Begin to build an alliance with those nations. Establish those nations. In other words, Magog, if it be Russia, is going to be working into each of these nations, strengthening them. How? Militarily, economically, practically, with trade, with other things, resources. So God is prophesying, saying, look, Russia, you make sure you start to establish those nations. Why? Because it's going to have to happen if they're going to invade Israel. Secondly, he goes further. And thy company that are assembled unto thee. Notice, they're all assembled. They're joined. They're being drawn to Russia. So Russia is strengthening them. They're being drawn politically and militarily to Russia. There is a whole gathering, an assembling of nations. These nations are going to gather before they attack. They're going to join together. Russia is strengthening them. Russia is providing the military weaponry. That's what she's doing. But he goes further in verse 7. And be thou a guard unto them. The word guard means to watch over or to protect. Russia is going to watch over these nations. Russia is going to have a jealousy over these nations. Do you realize that in all of the previous wars, 1948, 1967, 1973, Russia was arming all those nations. Russia was in the background helping those nations. Russia was against Israel. But notice with me, never did Russia put its feet on the ground. Never did Russia lead the warfare. Never in all of these years. But Russia was arming all of these Arab Muslim nations. Russia was behind them. Russia was threatening America, stay out of this or we will intervene as well. If you, America, get involved, we will get involved as well. But notice, Russia's never been involved in an invasion, practically on the ground, an invasion of Israel. But it will one day, very shortly. Notice that Russia begins to guard over these nations that we're looking at tonight. You see, Russia is literally arming them. I've checked this out for a year and a half now. I went through each of these nations. Russia is arming them heavily and has done for a few years. Russia is helping them economically. Russia is signing agreements with every nation that Ezekiel prophesies. It is happening in our lifetime. It wasn't happening 50 years ago. It is happening right now as we speak here. Russia is arming them. Russia is training them. Russia is supporting them. But it's never been on the ground in an invasion of Israel. Do you realize up until a year ago, Russia had an army of 1 million. That was its army. Do you know, as of a year ago, Putin says, I want to raise it to 2 million because of the Middle East crisis and because of what's about to happen. He wants to double his military, and he's doing that right now. There's also been a massive swing in the Middle East, in all the countries we're going to mention. There's been a great swing from America to Russia. Do you realize in the year 2000, America was the dominant influence in the Middle East? But in a period of less than 15 years, that has dramatically swung during the presidency of Obama. Because Obama changed everything and turned against Israel and went pro-Muslim. Because of that, the whole field has changed in the Middle East. America no longer has the influence in the Middle East, but Russia has the influence in almost every single Muslim nation of the Middle East. Everything is actually happening. Do you realize 2016 was the decisive year for Russia gaining influence in the Middle East? 2016, it changed everything. Russia is now the dominant influence in the Middle East. So we've got Magog, we've got Gog, we've got everything lining up. Russia is in the right place. But let's begin to look at who is Meshach and Tubal. Who is it who? Gog is the commander-in-chief or gets authority over their entire military. Who is Meshach and Tubal? These two sons or two nations are mentioned 6 times in the Old Testament. They were the 5th and the 6th sons of Japheth, the son of Noah. And we read that in Genesis 10. Now who are they? In Ezekiel 27 and 13, we read that they traded in Ezekiel's day. They were trading with other nations on the Mediterranean. They were known for trading horses. That's what they are famous for, was selling their horses to many nations on the Mediterranean. In Ezekiel's day, if you read the ancient histories, from the Assyrian historic records of the 8th century, just before Ezekiel, he actually places them in Turkey. Okay, listen to that. In the 8th century, 1 century before Ezekiel, the historic records say Meshach and Tubal was in Turkey. It was the two dominant tribes in the land of Turkey. Josephus in the first century, the Jewish historian, he also, writing in the first century, the days after Jesus Christ, he also tells us that these two large tribes filled the nation of Turkey. Let me jump a bit ahead of myself here, but I need to do this at this point. Gomer is in the list of verse 6. Who is Gomer? You see, Turkey in those days was split. It wasn't one nation. But I believe the Holy Spirit, to describe Turkey, has to tell us of other nations to describe the nation of Turkey. It's a more recent nation. But the Holy Spirit has given us the clues. Meshech and Tubal, it's Turkey. And I've got a lot of information on this. But also in verse 6, there's Gomer. A lot of Bible teachers for years, when I was a young kid, they said it was Germany. I believe that was ridiculous. They said it was East Germany that was divided from West Germany. And they said East Germany, for some strange reason, is going to invade Israel. I believe that was utterly wrong. Listen to Gomer. I've studied this out historically. I love history. So who is Gomer? He was the first son of Japheth, mentioned in Genesis 10 again. He's the older brother of Magog, Meshech, and Tubal, who we've just dealt with. He's the older brother. So you'd think he would settle in a similar area, wouldn't you? In Ezekiel 38 and verse 6, it talks about Gomer and all of his bands. In other words, crowds of troops or alliances of people. Where is Gomer? Gomer is actually in Turkey as well. So these three sons settled in Turkey. That was where they were in Ezekiel's day. So he's speaking about the nation of Turkey. Listen again. Gog of Meshech and Tubal. Gog, who's going to be the supreme general over the military force of Turkey. Do you realize Turkey has the 10th strongest army in the world? Do you realize it's probably got one of the greatest armaments of tanks in the entire world? President Erdogan actually came to power only in 2012. He said he was a mild man. No, he'd been in prison for militant Islam. But he got voted in saying, I'm a mild man. But once he was in power, he changed the entire nation of Turkey. Do you realize until recent times, nobody talked about Turkey? In the Middle East, nobody heard about Turkey. 5 years ago, you never heard of Turkey getting involved with anything. Turkey was never involved in an invasion of Israel. It never supported an attack on Israel. In fact, it was very pro-Israel up until Erdogan got into power. So a drastic change has actually come. But you know, notice something. When Erdogan got into power, they weren't pro-Russian. Only in 2002, they were not pro-Russian. It was a slow process. And even up until January 2016, Turkey was not pro-Russia. They were actually in a great conflict with Russia up until a year and a half ago. There was great suspicion. In fact, the news media, and you can look this up, they even said, is Turkey and Russia going to go to war together? Now, that was up until July 2016. They're thinking Turkey is going to fight. But what has happened? In July 2016, remember there was a coup in Turkey. Do you know who actually supposedly brought the coup about? The CIA. Do you know who warned Erdogan before it happened and given the warning that stopped him being pulled down? It was the Russian Secret Service. Putin actually came in and said, they're trying to pull you down, I'm going to help you. And their friendship was restored. All of a sudden, since July 2016, Turkey is one of the closest allies of Russia overnight. In all that's happening. Saints, I'm telling you what's happening. And Meshech and Tubal, Turkey, has come into a strong military alliance. And they're working very closely with Russia as of the past year and a half. Let's go a bit further here in verse 5. Notice that in verse 5 and 6, when he begins to list the nations in the army, the first nation mentioned in verse 5 is Persia. I'm sure you all know which nation Persia is. Do you know it talks about Persia? It says, in all of God's army. Now notice that Persia in Ezekiel's day was an insignificant people. An unnoticed people without a history. Only about 200 years later did they rise to power and become very influenced and a military nation. But it wasn't a noticeable nation in Ezekiel's day. But he prophesied Persia is going to be at the forefront of this invasion. It's military power. Now who is Persia? Until 1935, there was a nation called Persia. It never changed its name from Ezekiel's day all through until 1935. In 1935, it was renamed Iran. It became the Iranian Republic in more recent times. So Persia is Iran. They're one and the same. And in 2005, I won't try to say the president's name. Can hardly read it, never mind say it. But you know his face. He's the popular face of Iran. He got voted in 2005. He was elected the president of Iran. Now throughout his presidency, and notice the CIA was involved in the revolution in Iran as well, and had become a militant Muslim nation. CIA stuck their nose in a lot of nations and were reaping the consequences of it in our world. But throughout his presidency since 2005, he's constantly attacked Israel, threatening to totally annihilate the nation of Israel. Since 2005, he's been very public, although people try to deny it. He also denies that the Jewish Holocaust, when Hitler had 6 million Jews killed, he denies that it ever happened. Now, Iran and Russia have had improved relations over the past 5 to 6 years. You can check this historically. Just in recent times, in the past 5 years, they've become more increasingly close. But Iran was still very suspicious of Russia. Okay? But in 2016, again, I'm just telling you what's written in the newspapers. In 2016, that changed and Iran became very close to Russia. Putin visited Iran for the first time in November 2016. And there was a new alignment in the military operations in Syria. Do you realize Syria, the war in Syria, that has lasted for about 5 or 6 years, has brought all this together? Do you realize Syria has been the key to begin bringing together the alliance that's going to lead to Ezekiel's war? In November 2017, that's 2 months ago, 3 months ago, so recently, Russia, notice this, Turkey and Iran entered a political military alliance for the first time in their history. Never have these three countries in all of world history, in the past 2,600 years, they've never entered into a written alliance or a written agreement. Never. But they just did at the end of last year, in our own time. There's been a war for 5 years, leaving 500,000 people dead in Syria. But it's become the training base for the military of Russia, Turkey and Iran to join together. Do you know, over the past couple of months, Iran was building military bases in Syria 35 miles from Israel's border. Do you know that on Tuesday morning this week, Israel sent their fighters to bomb that base 35 miles within the Syrian border? It was an Iranian base on the border of Israel. I'm telling you about what's happening this week. Russia for the past 2 months has been threatening Israel, saying, if you bomb within Syria, we will attack you. That's what they've said for the last 2 to 3 months. Now saints, I don't believe it's going to happen tomorrow, personally. It could be 20 years down the road, though I'd be very surprised. It could be this year. I don't know. But saints, I do have a feeling that things are being very much prepared. So here's Israel bombing Iran, who's in an alliance with Turkey and Russia. And Russia's threatening Israel if they dare to bomb ever again into Syria. You know, they've done it 100 times in recent years. They went in, they shot people, they've destroyed military bases, and they keep it quiet. They never come out and say they've done it. But everyone knows that it's Israel. But let's move on to these other nations that are mentioned here. Saints, we need to see what's happening. The next nation in verse 5 is Ethiopia. Please don't confuse Ethiopia with our Ethiopia today. They're two different nations. They're not the same. We're talking about the Ethiopia in Ezekiel's day. In chapter 38, verse 5, what's the Hebrew word? It's Cush, and it's important you know that for a second. Ethiopia, although in the English Ethiopia is written, in the Hebrew it is the word Cush. Cush was the first son of Ham, Noah's grandson. And Cush gave birth to Nimrod. We read this in Genesis chapter 10. Ancient Cush was also known as Nubia in the history books. In Ezekiel 29, we actually read that Ethiopia, or Cush, was right on the southern border of Egypt. The Bible tells us that. Ethiopia today is not on the southern border of Egypt. One nation is to the south, and there's other verses I could bring in. It's Sudan. It's the nation of Sudan. Now, since 1989, Sudan suddenly become an Islamic Republic. Sudan, there was a revolution. And Iran, hear me, Persia, Iran supported that revolution, financed it, and armed the Muslim militants within Sudan to bring it about and make it a Muslim nation. A radical Muslim nation that will kill Christians. Not many missionaries feeling, I feel a call to North Sudan. Really? You don't hear that often. It's, I feel a call to the Bahamas or something else like that. But what are we watching here? Now, in 1989, the president called Omar al-Bashir, he came to power in North Sudan. Russia has supplied 87% of all their weapons, all of their military, 87%. Do you know that the United Nations, the EU, all of the Western nations consider Sudan a radical, dangerous nation, and its president, they say he's a dangerous man. He's not allowed in any other nation. They don't trade with him. They've cut off all trade. But Russia hasn't. Never has. Now notice again, Sudan has never been in a war against Israel. Never sent its military against Israel. But it will do one day very soon. Now let me tell you again what happened in November 2017. The president of Sudan, a Russian plane arrives in Sudan to pick him up with military fighters to protect him, that no one could touch him. Now he can't leave the country. And Putin flies him to Russia, to Moscow, and they have secret meetings. Russia has politically, militarily aligned itself with Sudan and is about to build military bases in Sudan and an awful lot more. And it's going to build its bases on the Red Sea, the border of Sudan. Let me move on a bit further here. Libya, I hope you're finding this interesting, this Bible prophecy. This Bible prophecy. Next we have Libya in verse 5. Libya, or in the Hebrew language, Put. Okay, and that's going to be important for what I'm about to tell you. So we read Libya in our Bible, but in the Hebrew it's Put. Ezekiel mentions it 3 times. And Put is mentioned in Genesis 10. Not Libya. Put is mentioned 3 times in the list of Ham's son as the grandson of Noah. Now we're now moving to North Africa. Put is Libya, present day Libya. Or it could also affect Algeria, Tunisia, or Morocco. Do you remember with Libya in recent times, they had Colonel Gaddafi ruling it as its military leader? We all knew that, or at least most of us grew up seeing Colonel Gaddafi. Colonel Gaddafi and Libya has always been on good terms with Russia. They signed agreements. Gaddafi even visited Russia, and they made military alignments, and Russia actually financed them and gave them much of their weaponry. Libya has always been against the West, against America, against Britain, and opposed to Israel radically. But Gaddafi was overthrown and killed in the year 2011. Okay? That's when the revolution happened. Again, who was involved? Have a guess. The CIA was involved, and Hillary Clinton was over her head involved with this. They're bringing down governments to move in, but what gets left? Disorder. Utter confusion. For the past 5 years, or sorry, 6 years, Libya has been in utter confusion. There's no president. There's no prime minister. The nation has been destroyed. There is 100 different factions, but maybe about 3 different factions within the country since Gaddafi was killed. And the nation's been changed. The nation is like Syria. It's filled with division and strife. But there is a general who has arisen in the nation. In 2011, he helped the CIA. He was one of Gaddafi's top generals, called General Haftar. But in August 2016, he moved from being a CIA employed protected agent. Listen, only in August 2016, he suddenly turned to aligning himself with Russia. But that shouldn't surprise us. He is one of the main generals in Libya today, fighting, gaining ground, and he's got a military force. But he can't gain power. There's too many against him, or he can't get voted in. But listen, as a young man, where was he trained? Russia. He's been trained by the Russian military. What language does he speak as his second language? Russian. Well trained in Russian. Do you realize all through the past year, 2017, he has been having close talks with Putin and with the Russian military? Why? Because he is asking for a strong alignment with Russia. And he is asking Russia to intervene in Libya like they are Syria. Why do you think in the past few months Putin is saying the war in Syria is over? And Iran, Turkey and Russia, we've signed an agreement, it's the end. So for 2 months now I'm asking myself, why are they saying it's over when what's changed in the past 2 months? It's still a live thing. Why is Russia saying the war's over in Syria? You know why? Now they've got their eyes on Libya. Watching the next year what happens, or maybe the next couple of years, they're going to make Libya another Syria. What am I telling you? Do you realize a year ago when I studied this, I said, Libya, how is it going to be brought in? It's not a full nation. This general is not in charge of it. It's a divided nation. But you know what? Before Ezekiel's war, Russia is going to help establish Libya. Mark my words. Remember, Russia is blaming America for Syria. Now they're saying, we brought peace. We have calmed the nation. We have defeated the militants. We settled Syria. And now we're going to settle Libya. Now for the past year, and you can look this up again, there's been talks going on. And Libya is going to become the new Syria. I haven't heard anybody say this. No prophetic teacher, no Bible teacher. So I'm stepping out. I could be wrong, but I'm predicting this is going to become the new Syria. Okay, saints, let me bring you down to the last one. I've got an awful lot to say, but I want to bring you to the last nation mentioned here in verse 5. It's called Togarma. Okay, you may pronounce it better than me. Now, it says there, the house of Togarma of the north quarters and all his bands. Notice it's the only country out of all these several I've mentioned that the north is mentioned. Only Magog, Russia, is called to the north. This is the only one of all the other nations. You know what that means? It's further north than the other nations. Further north than Sudan, or Iran, or Turkey, or Libya. It's going to be further north. And it's going to be between Magog and the rest of the Middle East. Now, who is this nation? He was one of the three sons of Gomer, the son of Japheth. It is interesting that Togomar is the only nation apart from Magog that is mentioned to the north. Okay, what nation actually is it? When you look at the old maps, it's the ancient kingdom of Armenia. And today's present nation of Armenia, if you ask them or look up the nation of Armenia, they themselves claim, their own historians, they claim to descend directly from Togarmah. That's their ancient people, their ancient descendant. That's what they claim for themselves. So this nation is Armenia. As a part of their military alliance with Russia. Remember when Russia, when the Soviet Union fell, Russia didn't fall, the Soviet Union fell and disbanded. Armenia separated themselves from Russia. They distanced themselves. But they have constantly come into a strong military alliance. In fact, they're talking right now this month about joining the Armenian military with the Russian military. And they'll become one military. Russia is going to train their military. But they're in a strong alliance. They've signed an agreement where militarily they'll work together until 2044. Russia has heavily armed the nation. But listen to this, it's not a Muslim nation. You know how a lot of people say all these nations are Muslim? This one isn't. It is 95% Orthodox Christian, secular Christian. It's not Muslim. It's a Christian nation. Why would a Christian nation join with Russia and the Muslim nations? Why would it do that? In fact, the nation, the nation right next to it, is its biggest enemy. Azerbaijan is a Muslim nation. And Armenia and Azerbaijan are enemies. Why would Armenia join an attack against Israel? Why would they? Let me give you the reason. Azerbaijan is a Muslim nation, but it's in an alliance with Israel. Israel runs all of its secret services out of Azerbaijan, the biggest synagogue in the world outside of Jerusalem is in Azerbaijan, the capital. They actually protect Israel activities within their nation, but they're a Muslim nation. Saints, I'm just fitting all these bits together. Okay, so I'm showing you what's about to happen, and I'm predicting, and I've got good ground because I'm not predicting, I'm standing on the Word of God. I believe Ezekiel was a prophet of God. I am telling you tonight that Russia is making ready an army, an alliance with Turkey, with Libya, with Sudan, with Iran, and with Armenia, and with many others, and they're going to join together. And they're going to be very active in the Middle East in our day and generation. Why would this happen? What's going to happen to make them invade Israel? Listen with me as I try to close here. Chapter 38, verse 4. This is God prophesying. He says, Russia, I will turn thee back. In other words, they're doing something, but God's going to change the direction. Russia and these nations are in the Middle East and they're doing something, but God says, I'm going to turn you back. Notice here, they're not attacking Israel. They're doing something else. And he says, I'll turn you back. And I will put hooks in thy jaws. And I will bring thee forth and thy army. What's he going to do? Make them invade Israel. Do you hear me? God is going to make these nations invade Israel. He's going to change their focus. And they're all going to be gathered for some other reason, but he's suddenly going to draw them and actually pull them into the mountains of Israel. He's going to do that. And do you know what God's doing? God's saying, I'm going to judge you. Do you realize God is about to judge Russia? She's never been judged. Remember, she killed Christians for generations. You were persecuted, thrown in prison and killed for being a Christian in communist Russia for generations there. Russia is about to be judged by God. Or look at verse 9. Thou shalt descend and come like a storm. Thou shalt be like a cloud to cover the land. Thou and all thy clouds and many people with thee. Thus saith the Lord God. It shall come to pass that at the same time shall things come into thy mind. Notice this. Suddenly, as this great force is gathered, thoughts come into the mind of Gog and Magog. Thoughts in their mind. And thou shalt think an evil thought. The word there, think, means to plan. To create a plan. So all of a sudden, these thoughts start to come to Russia. And to this alliance. And they start saying, hold on a minute. Let's make a plan. Verse 11. And thou shalt say, I will go up to the land of unwalled villages. I will go up to them that are at rest, to them that dwell safely, all of them dwelling without walls and having neither bars nor gates. Notice what they start saying. They're saying, we're going to go up to Israel. Israel is at peace. Israel is settled. Israel doesn't have any walls around it. Israel is there secure. Why are they going to invade Israel? Verse 12. To take spoil. That's the motive. Do you realize Israel is one of the richest nations, most prosperous? Do you realize they're talking about giving into Israel's hands the international running of the internet? Israel's going to have prime position of that. Do you realize that technology in Israel is beyond anything in the world? Yeah. Do you realize what a prosperous nation Israel is? They're finding gas, they're finding oil. All in recent years, the past 5 years, they are finding resources that are remarkable. Do you realize the Dead Sea is a remarkable asset? Verse 12, to take spoil and to take a prey, to turn thine hand upon the desolate places that are now inhabited and upon the people that are gathered out of the nations. Do you see what's happening here? What an accurate prophecy. Do you know Russia is economically in big problems? Do you realize Iran tonight is quelling a rebellion, a revolution? They are suffering terribly. You know why? They're financing military aggression through Islam. Islam militants. They are pouring billions into that. And stupid Obama was paying them every year a fortune. Do you know Sudan is also financially in a crisis? So Russia, why is Russia moving into the Middle East? They have said, their generals have said, they said, we're in trouble. We need to go south. We need to move into the Middle East. We need access to the Mediterranean. That's why Russia has suddenly, within the last decade, focused on the Middle East and poured all their power in. You know why? They need an alliance down there because economically they're in trouble. A thought's going to come into their mind. Israel is a rich nation. It's a prosperous nation. In verse 13 we read who's against it. Sheba and Dedan. Who are they? That is Saudi Arabia. Until 1.5 years ago, about July 1.5 years ago, Saudi Arabia was the enemy of Israel. Everyone knew that. Suddenly overnight it become into an alliance with Israel and begin speaking positively about Israel. Do you know Saudi Arabia is against Iran and against Turkey and against all these maneuverings? It's remarkable. It's a radical Muslim nation. But Saudi Arabia is going to oppose this invasion. It's prophesied 2,600 years ago that when all these nations, Turkey, Iran, Russia, align and come down and invade Israel, do you realize Saudi Arabia will oppose it more than any other nation in the world? They're the first to say, what are you doing? You're coming down here. It says, and who else is going to oppose this? It says the merchants of Tarshish. Where's Tarshish?
Spain.
Merchants of Tarshish, merchants of Spain. No, it's talking about the nation of that day. Do you realize Spain? It says merchants of Tarshish. What's a merchant? It's a sailor, a traveler, someone who travels and trades through many nations. Do you realize the Irish come via Tarshish, Spain? It's notorious. Read our history books. The first Irish and the most recent Irish, they all come via Spain. That is our ancestry. When it says merchants of Tarshish, what I believe it means is Western Europe or the West. That's who the merchants of Tarshish are. And it says, with all thy young lions. I believe that could be the nations birthed out of Spain and out of the West. I believe those young lions are the British Commonwealth of Nations. Everywhere from America to Australia. Those nations that were called the British Commonwealth, the young lions are going to stand. So we see the armies invading Israel. The armies are the nations. Notice they don't put up much of a fight, do they? Where's America? Where's the might of America in this? Maybe there's going to be a collapse in America very soon. Maybe they're just opposing. Maybe Trump will be there on weekly saying, what are you doing? Maybe America's going to fall into a terrible crisis and Russia will say, now's our opportunity to invade Israel. Maybe Russia is waiting that hour and that time when there's no military force to obstruct them. Saints, what happens to that army? They fall in the mountains of Israel. Let me briefly, give me 2 minutes to say what happens in chapter 39. In verse 20, there's a great earthquake that brings everything down. In verse 21, there's confusion. All these armies are in the mountains of Israel. Remember what that is? That's the West Bank. It's the ground that's being fought over where all the Palestinians are. This great massive army comes to the mountains of Israel. And they're there. In verse 21, there's confusion. And the armies start turning against each other. Remember, there's Russian language, all the languages. Do you know an army that uses several different languages? Easy to get confused and turn. You know, I never... You know, when I was in the Gulf War, traveled through Saudi into Iraq, into Kuwait. We drove all through that desert. One of our last commands was, go to Baghdad. We were driving towards Baghdad, politicians stepped in, said, no, orders change, go to Kuwait. But Anton, we were the only battle group ready to walk into Baghdad. Our only casualties were through Americans. When we were in the middle of that Iraqi desert, we were heading towards Baghdad. Who bombed us? It was the American Air Force. I was the first on the scene of those tanks. And I'm there radioing up, I'm 18 years old, I called for our men to come in. I said, is it a minefield? Did they get hit from above? And I watched those young 18, 17 year old boys getting lifted off who were killed. What, by Americans who bombed them? So you can imagine the confusion. What happens when you put Russia and Libya and Sudan and all these armies on the mountains of Israel? So the Lord says, not only is there an earthquake, there's confusion and they begin to kill each other. Then in verse 22, there's pestilence, disease. Then great rain, great hailstone, fire and brimstone. That might be a volcano or it could be military. In chapter 39, verse 2, sorry, those other verses were in chapter 38. Then in chapter 39, verse 2, it says, only 1/6 of this army survive. 5 out of every 6 soldiers die on the mountains of Israel, on the West Bank. Then in verse 6 it says, and I will send a fire on Magog, and among them that dwell carelessly. What's going to happen? Those who dwell carelessly, the word in the Hebrew means to take refuge, or who have fled for safety to Magog. In other words, there's going to be many, when this all takes place, they go back to Russia. They flee for refuge. They return to their home base. And it says God will send fire upon them in the land of Magog and in the isles. So wherever they escape to the ends of the earth, fire actually falls on them. Maybe it's the Israeli military again. And listen to this, and they shall know that I am the Lord. It says in verse 9 and 10, they spent 7 years burning the weapons with fire. And they actually say, you won't need to cut down trees to keep yourself warm. You won't need to cut down trees to keep fires burning. They're going to take these weapons, and these weapons for 7 years are going to create the power that heats the nation. Okay, I'm just telling you what is written here. They use it for fuel. And it actually says that Israel robbed them who came to rob them. They take all this military force, they become richer. They actually use the power. Maybe they had nuclear weapons. Maybe they had all sorts of things. And Israel's going to take and say, great, we'll now heat our nation for the next 7 years. You have given us all the instruments. In verse 11 to 12, concerning Gog, it says Gog, this great general, is going to die in the mountains of Israel. This great army is going to be slaughtered. And Israel is going to become active in burying the dead for 7 months. After they clear the land, the nation is active. They put a little marker, a flag. Ever seen them do that in recent years? They put a little flag by a bone. If they find one bone, they put a flag there in order that others can come and collect it. Why would you do that? Maybe it's nuclear. You don't know why they're doing this, but it says, and Israel in the valley of Hamon Gog bury the great multitude. Saints, next week we're going to see what happens when God destroys this great military force on the mountains of Israel. Amen. Amen. Let's stand here. Let's pray. Praise God.